I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
The Catechin, Kentucky beats Jackson State 108-59. Fellas, how we feeling?
Awful. Kobe Brea and Ansley Elmanor both had their first turnovers of the season tonight. Only one apiece, but we no longer have any players with a clean sheet.
Yeah, also Kobe Brea brought his 3-point shooting percentage down.
So what? Only 5-for-8.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
I'm not going to lie. It did hurt a little bit not to get the 50-point win. I was really rooting for that. I wanted us to score over 100 and win by 50. But
and we missed one free throw.
Post like, get them boys back in the gym.
Is it worse to get second place or is it worse to get last place, you know? It's, you know,
first
yeah.
Loser.
The starters played a lot tonight compared to what I thought was going to happen, I guess. Well, we did see 2 Kentucky boys threes, which was nice.
That's fun.
Rupp finally busted.
Were those the first official points for both of them?
No, last week, no? Last game. Yeah, Travis got some points last game, right?
Yeah, because they actually both of them now have 6 – or no, that's plus minus. Both of them have – points is on here somewhere. Perry has 7. Noah has 3. So those were Noah's first points. Perry, I think, had some coming into this.
Everyone got Chick-fil-A too, so.
Twice, right? There was 2 positives. I don't know what the deal is for the Chick-fil-A, but it happened twice where they missed both.
Yeah.
So.
It's the loudest Rupp got, pretty much. I guess with the Noah 3 and the Perry 3, they were into that.
Yeah, that's why they were sticking around. Just they wanted to see them Kentucky boys.
How much are we supposed to go on here? I mean, Kentucky's good, and this Jackson State team is really, really not good. That's what it seems like. They had a McDonald's All-American. That was news to me. I didn't know that. And they're coached by Mo Williams, which is like, oh, hey, that's neat.
Yeah, they're going to get there to, you know – they're going to get their Dion treatment, maybe. Maybe they'll get a few, like, decent recruits and then run their league and make some noise in the tourney 1 year. I think they're building that direction. I mean, their schedule is absolutely insane. They're playing, like, 3 top 10 teams in, like, 2 weeks or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it was mostly just they did what they were supposed to do. I think that they took more risks on defense. Trying to create turnovers rather than play like disciplined, safe, whatever. So I think that they were, it's almost exhibition wise where they had points of emphasis that they were trying to hit. And I'm sure, you know, that Mark Pope got some good coaching points out of this still. Kobe Brea, just, I don't think it isn't going to go in every time he shoots the ball. He's awesome. And then he had a dunk. He had a couple steals. They were picking pockets a lot tonight, which was fun. It was a very fun game to watch. I will probably watch it again just to see all the highlight reel type stuff. There's more, like, I think as many dunks as we had in the whole season tonight as well, which is kind of crazy.
It's almost like, these games are almost like fan service. I mean, you mm-hmm. get your Kentucky boys, you get just 17 3-pointers on 40 attempts, and you still probably improved the team percentage. We shot 43.6% as a team. Like, that's That's great. I do think that Jackson State had one of the worst 3-point percentage allowed rates in the country, which is just a funny statistic. It's like, you know, the team still has to hit them, right? Like it's not just like you failed to defend and so they all went in. It's the team still have to. I think the same thing when I see like teams are really, really bad at shooting free throws against certain teams. But man, was it just what a fun game. The one thing I thought was interesting was Jackson was 4 for 10, which at first glance, it's like, oh man, he missed six, but still 40% is an awesome.
Yep.
Yep. And it felt like, percentage. I think he went like 4 in a row or something. Like not hitting him. And then he finally hit that, you know, to break the cold streak or whatever. And yeah, it's the commitment to don't let the shot clock run out, get the playoff, take the open threes, and then play a more aggressive, risky style of defense. It was very fun to watch tonight. I think we're not going to be able to learn much about how they react or whatever as a team from this particular tape. But as far as like exhibiting each of their skill sets, we got a nice highlight reel package, I think, from this game. And you could tell, I feel bad because Jackson State players probably didn't think that it was going to be just this bad. Maybe, I don't know. They were a little chirpy even throughout the game, which you get beat by 50 points. It's kind of weird. A weird thing to do.
The spread was 35. Mm-hmm. And we went way over that. But like, I feel like at a certain point, 30 maybe, if you're predicted to lose by 30, it's almost like, all right, this is a bye game. We know what it is. No expectation at all of going in there and winning. So I don't know. I did feel bad at the end. When the Jackson State player went to dunk it just as time was expiring and didn't get it, and they booed it, especially because we just shot a three. Like, I know we had to get a shot off.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Just dunk it up, you know.
Yeah.
Something special. Yeah.
I liked where it looked like we went, and this is by our team standards, a little cold from three for a stretch there. But then they started just driving the ball, and there was like three possessions in a row where we were just dunking it, and just really driving the ball and getting good post looks. And I like seeing that because you do feel like at some point later in the season, probably a tournament game, where it's going to feel like we're not hitting anything. So to see looks like that is encouraging. Like, okay, we have multiple ways of attacking and scoring on offense. Mm-hmm.
And it can feel like forever when you go cold for 4 or 5 minutes, even it can feel like we're doomed, but the fact that it can swing back wildly, very quickly, quicker than, you know, you went cold from, if that makes sense. I don't even know if those words make sense. It's Friday, but we got to see a lot of Colin Chandler tonight.
Yeah.
He's great getting game. More, comfortable, I think. He's standing up straighter when he's moving. And that, you know, so that's like the first thing I noticed in the exhibitions was like, you know, maybe he just isn't used to playing at like, he's playing against, you know, Utah kids, or maybe he was just, mission, just dunking on little children that he's serving mission with or something. I don't know. But yeah, he looks a lot more opened up in his movement. So that's good to see.
I know one sort of point of emphasis Cam Mills was saying, you know, Pope's not going to be happy with this. So we won the rebounding battle, but only by one. And I feel like we should have probably had more than that. But Mills was really harping on the fact that offensive rebounds, we lost 4-13. But the flip side of that is, we hit 60% of our shots and they hit 30. I mean, they had so many more chances and like, that's not a great excuse because we still missed 30 shots, and having four offensive rebounds there, you can do better. But it's very much not an apples to apples comparison either. To just say 13-4.
Yeah, Lamont's still shooting, and I think that has got to be terrifying. Scouting this team, thinking like, okay, we kind of see what they're doing. We see who their scorers are, even though it's very, very balanced. But then you have this other guy. It's like that can maybe. We don't know because we haven't seen it yet. And he just shows a little bit and a little bit of it. I think that would be kind of the tipping point to this is an elite team that should expect a Final Four type. Is if Butler becomes a 3-point shooter. If he becomes Mark Sears.
When?
Yeah, right.
When he becomes Mark Sears.
Yeah.
And then Mark Sears becomes a cat.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to happen in January. Don't forget, everybody, keep that.
January transfer Mark Sears. Yep. You heard it here first.
We had a couple pretty cool stat lines that you can see on our new ticker. But Butler ended up 4 rebounds, 5 assists, didn't miss his dunk, which is nice, probably wanted to redeem himself a little bit. Williams, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Garrison had a crazy 6, 8, and 6 with 3 steals and 3 blocks, which was – I thought Garrison looked great. He didn't score a ton, but every single game he's getting better and looks more comfortable. And I know I complained early on about how he was like the one guy that kind of had to think for a second with the ball. And I'm noticing that less and less. Mm-hmm. I watched Pope's post game. He was talking about his Pop rule. He wants everybody within half a second of getting the ball to make a decision and start whatever action they're going to do. And certainly early on, I don't think Garrison was doing that. And I'll have to rewatch looking for this, but at no point today did I sit there and say like, oh, he really, really hesitated in a way there that it didn't look like he knew what he was doing right away.
Yeah, it's been great to see. I mean, he also improved against Duke, which like I'm going to always think about that. And I think we'll still see him in big games where it's like, okay, he looks even more comfortable this time. But as far as ceiling for affecting the success of this year's team, I don't think anybody is expecting Brandon Garrison to maybe be the X factor because it's very possible that because he gets more comfortable, his footwork is getting better. He seems more smooth, more decisive, and more confident. And it's like his athletic profile, his ceiling is NBA. And if he keeps at this trajectory of improvement, then I think by the end of the season, he's something else.
The drop-off from Amari to Garrison isn't that big.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrison's a sophomore. I mean, conceivably, we could have him for 2 more years. If he keeps improving like this, I don't think we do. But
it's just... Think about this.
Awesome.
Brandon Garrison has not reached his ceiling yet for all this low-ceiling talk on this team. Colin Chandler has not reached his ceiling yet. Otega Owe, I don't think he's reached his ceiling yet. And by the way, we still haven't really had Kerr Karisa fully have a go-off game or be fully part of this offense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more for this team.
There's so many no-look passes, though. And I really think that all comes from Karisa. Like, I just imagine this summer, the osmosis of the Kerr is kind of Kerr has penetrated his teammates and now they're doing the no look passes. I don't know if it was Cameron Mills or who, one of the commentators said, I don't know if Kerr Karisa has ever looked at a pass. Like they're all no look passes. And you see every single player is doing that same stuff. Brandon Garrison had a sick feed, like bounce pass early in the first half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, and he made that decision very quickly. And you see that they're starting to understand how to interpret their peripheral vision and make decisions. And it's exciting to see development. Like, we already beat Duke, and they're still developing. I think the ceiling is probably a lot higher than anybody's expecting. Fun. It was fun to watch today.
And another thing Pope sort of was really proud of in his post-game presser was he said, we played, I'm going to leave Walker Horn off here, but we played our 12 scholarship guys, 11 of them scored. The one that didn't score was Kerr, and he led us in assists with 7 in 12 minutes, 3 rebounds, 7 assists in 12 minutes.
That's very productive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny how, he gets on the court and it's like, you know, he's going to initiate whatever the offense is doing, but it's not like he takes over the game like optically, but that's an insane productive rate for how little he was on the court respectively.
Well, and the other thing is, even at this point, if he isn't necessarily hitting, not scoring in the way that we know he's capable of, he was a 42% three-point shooter last year on 144 attempts. I get that's high volume, high percentage. He's going to draw defenders to him. Career, he's 37%. I mean, he can shoot. I don't know what's going on, why he's not hitting him, but he is impacting the game in other ways. He had a couple of turnovers today, but generally isn't terrible on the turnover front, and I know that was a fear people had. But he's also always going to draw somebody to him to defend the three because he's a threat.
Yeah, and like, yeah, that's what is a threat, right? Somebody who's going to shoot it and can hit it. And Brandon Garrison is even like a quote unquote a threat. Like, they left him wide open. He's like, all right, I'll take it. And to see him make that decision that's what Markov wants. He wants to make them respect, you know, the perimeter, no matter who's out there. Ainsley had a good game. I really think, so in my head, I'm like looking at the future too a little bit, but like Trent Noah, if he could be what Ainsley is for us this year, like eventually grow into like that kind of role, like Ainsley would be a lot more popular if he was from Harlan, Kentucky, obviously, but like, he's a Kentucky legend, you know, if he is as productive as Ainsley's been this year. And it feels like that's kind of when that rotation comes out, it feels like that's kind of the role that Trent's playing.
This is
fun to watch too. He moves fast.
And actually, every single time I watch Ainsley play, like when I watch him run, I don't think he looks like he's running that fast. But it is unbelievable how quickly he gets to the corners every single transition play. He's always there. He's usually open. Sometimes jumping up and down, waving his arms. Sometimes just drawing a defender. I mean, and that's his job. He makes so much space.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty good shooter. I mean, he rebounds pretty well. You can see when you watch him some hints of him playing out of position at the five for a smaller school for a while, because he can box out.
Yeah,
he can do things that other people that shoot like him don't really do most of the time.
Yeah. And then Ortega is, I think he's going to consistently be a star while he's on the court. And he gets better. He looks ridiculously strong. He's got NFL genes, right? So makes sense, but gosh, it's so fun to watch him.
Is Ortega Oway our best player? Because I think he is.
I think he's been most consistent so far. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say best. But
he's been the second best player every time he's on every game, right? Okay. And then there's been a different best player every game. So maybe like in aggregate, yeah.
Best player tonight, probably Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant is so fucking fun to watch.
And then it's Ortega. Just, yeah, I could see where it's Ortega constantly being the number two.
Brea is 20 of 27 from three on the season. 74%. Pope said at some point today, Brea hit one right in front of the bench and turned around and was talking shit to Pope.
He's got just whatever the prototypical shooter aura is, he just oozes it. I mean, the turning around before it's even, before it's even, the ball's even coming down. It's just like everything he does, he looks like he's having a lot of fun. He comes off the bench and he don't care. And it's just, I think he might be my favorite player to watch right now. And he's still like, they all, like him, Butler, and Ortega just stealing the ball. You make a bad dribble, that ball's gone. And it's like quickly coming the other way. And that's so fun. It's like a sack in football. It's like.
Right.
It's like the best thing to see other than, you know, a dunk or a three. It's like. A good steal where somebody's just bamboozled for a second because they didn't think that was going to happen. Garrison's making those too. Garrison's
sneaky. Garrison has great hands, really. Yeah. He assists well. He catches the ball pretty well. And he steals it quite a bit. I'm really surprised and happy about Brea's attitude. Not that I was worried about it, but just based on how the offseason went, when you have a list of just blue bloods and you make it known, like, I want to go to a blue blood, and you're asking Duke for like $1.8 million, and I was worried he'd be too cool, and when you're shooting like this, you can be too cocky, but he's got a lot of humility. He was talking at some point. He said on that one just nasty turn his back to the basket thing in an interview. He said, I was trying to look, make eyes with someone in the crowd so I could see if I made it or not. It's not like I knew it went in. I just did it. And I had to look and wait to see people's reaction to know if it actually went in.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds like he's just having so much fun, and that he loves being here in a way that, I feel like in the portal era, it's really easy, especially with a team like this where you got seven seniors and super seniors. It's like, hey, these are all mercenaries, hired guns, come in for a year, one last hurrah before they go off. But these guys seem like they're having a blast. They like each other. They like Hope. And they can't get enough of it. And
well, they're playing a very fun brand of basketball on the court, and then off the court they're superstars, and Pope is obviously coordinating all, like, every aspect of, like, he's the coach, but that means that he is managing the fan base and the school and the media and the team and his coaches on the court, off the court, yada yada, all that stuff, and he takes all of that very seriously. So you see a very fun brand of basketball, you see a very fun just school of media to follow, and yeah, they're all leaning into it. They're all having fun. I think Kobe Bray is my wife's favorite player. I think he might be a lot of people's wives' favorite player.
Yeah, probably.
He is kind of like just cool, and I think that is, I don't know, you have to recruit culture. I think one of the Field of 68 guys said that, and he's Pope recruited culture for sure. Now he's definitely developing it, but first is you have to get dudes that you can develop it in, and he did a good job. I think
what I like about this team is you can feel how much fun that they're having and how infectious that is to the fan base, because it's just going to keep going in a cycle. The more fun they have, the more fun we're going to have watching them, and that obviously is translating to the play on the court. And a point that's been mentioned, I think Pope even talked about it, was this team with the transfers are full of guys who they never thought they'd be playing for Kentucky. And these are guys who have a full appreciation of where they are, and they know, I mean, we've heard the, you know, they know what the name on the front of the jersey means, or they yeah. understand the assignment, all of the talking points or whatever. But they're also, these are guys that, I mean, Ansley Almendore was playing at Fairleigh Dickinson last year, mm-hmm. and now he's yeah. playing for the biggest brand in college basketball. That's unbelievably cool for him.
And was committed, I mean, he was going to Siena until... Yeah. I mean, it's not like he had a huge list of schools, although he did. There was one interview where somebody asked him what other schools, it may have even been one of the spaces or something. Somebody said, well, what other schools? And I was surprised he was willing to say anything, but there were a couple other like high majors on there. I don't know why he was going to go to Siena, if it was going to be like a be back home kind of thing or what, but.
What a pickup he was.
Yeah, right. And I hope that I know that we've been saying that the number one recruiting priority is retaining the guys we have that will have remaining eligibility. And if we have five of those guys, that's enough to keep some of this culture rolling. That's enough to you know, I so wish we had some of these guys for more time.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Ansley continue to develop here. I'd love to see, I mean, of course, everyone wants a 75% three-point shooter to stay.
Give me Kerr back every year.
But it's really great that we even have the guys with remaining eligibility that we do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he felt like, you know, we were talking about, these are the developmental guys or whatever, with Garrison and Owe and people were like, I don't know if it's going to work out, whatever. We were pretty bought in, you know, from the jump. I think Garrison has a lot of the qualities that Amari has with his coordination at his size and length. And Pope sees that. I mean, he played against him twice last year in the Big 12. Played against Otega twice. He saw something. And obviously, it's working out. And then you can see where those guys can imprint on the next, you know, Malachi Moreno. And I don't know who would even be the Otega person, but
Jasper Johnson.
Is he strong like that though?
He's pretty strong. I don't think he's built like a linebacker necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Otega's arms? They're ridiculous.
Otega's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Jasper,
a rock and bod, man. It's got a rock and
bottom. Yeah. We're gonna have a whole episode just about the physiques of the team. Yeah.
Jasper had a pretty good night tonight. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. He had 15 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds on 38% 3-point shooting.
But does he understand the assignment?
I think he does. I hope he does.
I can't believe I accidentally walked myself into saying that phrase earlier. I was so over it after like the second video.
Yeah. But I sat there when these happened in the preseason, and the first one, I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. And by the fifth or sixth, it's like, okay, I'm rolling my eyes. I was always optimistic, right? But I didn't sit there and think, yep, we are going to be capable of winning a title. Now, I'm not saying we will, but I think these guys get it. I mean, they're trying. I'm not saying it.
I think they understand.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand how well they understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so true.
You know?
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but there's not a single person on the planet or any planet that exists in whatever universe that gets Kentucky basketball more than Mark Pope. And it also feels like he understands how to find the same type of people that will also buy in. So he's a culture guy. He's not an analytics nerd dork. He's a culture guy. And I think you guys are talking about these other guys were at other schools playing. They have to see a big difference in their experience, right? Like from Oklahoma State, Dayton, Fairleigh Dickinson, San Diego State, whatever. They have to. There's a huge dichotomy of player experience, and it's being showcased, and I think that's going to help with recruiting a lot. And then this is also a very good opportunity for Pope to have a proof of concept that he didn't get to do at BYU, because he was kind of, you know, he didn't get the BYU of 2024 that apparently has $1 trillion. But he's getting that chance to showcase it. And it's crazy how he just finds these dudes. Because Ansley Elmenor, nobody ever thought about him. No, he wasn't, you know, in the message board, the transfer portal message board,
right?
Threads or nothing, you know. And then he comes in, he's immediately productive, and he stretches the floor. And it's like, this guy is, it's not that he's perfect for the Pope offense or whatever, because Mark Pope is just running a modern offense. It's like, this is a good modern basketball player. And and Mark Pope found him and got him on, and now he's here, and he seems like a leader as well. So, yeah, the talent recognition, I think, is an underrated skill of Mark Pope's, which makes me excited for, like, if he's getting freshmen coming in that are highly rated recruits, they also have to pass the Pope rating system, and that's exciting.
I do have one thing, was that I was seeing on in our Kentucky Discord with other fans, people getting a little negative on Jackson Robinson, talking about the, I guess, body language, full of body language experts on Discord.
But he was talking about his body language, like mm-hmm. in an interview after the Duke game, he came forward and said, I was disappointed in my own body language in that game. And whatever, he's still 34% from three, most attempts on the team. I mean, that's respectable.
Yeah. And all I want to say is, let's all collectively relax. Jackson's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good, he's a very talented player. He's going to be fine.
If your biggest complaint about this team is that the guy that you thought was going to be the best player is actually just as good as everyone else around him, that's not a bad complaint. You know,
we're going to be fine. Yeah.
Doomer's going to doom when you win by 50. It's like body language of Jackson. Jackson Robinson is just, he has, like, from what I can tell, he's like, look, my intent is not to be whatever. I'm kind of sassy, you know? That just is body language. It's like, that's just my personality. And the team knows it, obviously. It's like, and now I guess I have to showcase that to the fan base. Like, nah, you ain't gotta worry about that. You shouldn't have to worry about that. Just do your thing. He's also,
I don't think it's that big of an issue, because I think if Pope had such a big problem with it, or if there was anything that Pope thought was crossing the line, or if he was taking it out on teammates or something like that, we have enough talent on the team where it's like, all right, he would just have Jackson sit on the bench and we bring in Kobe Brea or I'm trying to think of other two, like bring in Kirk Creasa, just, you know, just another wing or another guard or something like that. But no,
whoever, you know, whoever scored the points against Duke when he scored 1 point, you know,
and like in reality, Jackson's averaging 11 points, 4 rebounds, 34% from three with a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. It's like, If that's your complaint, great. Look at all these teams. I don't know about you guys. I've been all about feast week so far. 2 days in, I've done nothing almost but watch basketball. And look at all these teams that have like real complaints. Look at these teams that are struggling against teams that they shouldn't. And maybe we have one of those games eventually.
Oh, no. But this happened.
I agree, Ben.
Yeah. But you know, maybe I don't know why I didn't do that time. Weird. But maybe we have one of those games eventually. But right now, if our biggest complaint is that Jackson Robinson is only averaging 11 points, four rebounds, an assist, a block with a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, great.
Well, it's a worse complaint because it's not even that. It's their complaint is like, oh, he's like slumping his shoulders a little bit. Or he's like, oh, man, I missed that shot and not getting back on defense quick enough for their liking, whatever that means. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a day one Jackson defender, but it's just like, let's relax. I mean, the guy's clearly very talented and we're not playing, you know, the craziest amount of competition. And it's natural for, I mean, I've watched college basketball a long time, and these are kids. If it's not like a high-end talent, it's hard to keep them locked in for the full amount of the game. There's going to be these little slumps in it where they might not be, you know, setting a pick as hard or, you know, boxing out as good for a rebound. Like, when you're up 30, you can only keep these kids locked in for so long.
Yeah. And he's also, I think that he has been so consistent on defense on the perimeter, and it's almost a thankless type of production. Elite. I think that our perimeter defense in general has just been elite. So, I mean, a lot of his blocks are threes.
Yeah,
he's blocking threes. You know, like, look sad. I don't care. Keep blocking threes. Whatever.
All right. So our 3-point defense is number 5 in the country. We're allowing, well, and again, some of that is competition based.
We played Duke,
but though. Right. Well, and Duke shot terribly.
17, I think.
Some of that is absolutely our defense. Some of that was missing some wide open shots, but we are allowing the 5th lowest 3-point percentage on defense. 22.4%.
And what's our offensive 3-point percentage ranking?
42.3%, number 12.
I think that's probably pretty good.
And that's across 364 D1 teams. You've got some mid majors in there who are just chucking it up. And you know, let's see who actually. Well, and that's just a flat percentage. That's not weighted for. The rate at which you shoot threes. So, like, what I say, we're number 12, 42.3%. Number one is Houston at 48.8%. But we shoot so many more threes than Houston. We shoot – Houston shoots threes 31% of the time. We shoot them 42% of the time. So it is just – on much higher volume, we are just barely behind them in percentage. And
So our defense is good at keeping them from scoring threes, and our offense is good at doing threes. That sounds like a pretty good recipe. I'm not a basketball guy or nothing, but
the only thing our defense isn't good at is forcing non-steal turnovers, which is really strange. I don't know what that means. I don't have a.
By the way, we got one tonight. We forced a shot clock violation. So
nice. Maybe that'll get us out of like the dregs of the NCAA in terms of.
I wonder how our steals are.
Cherry pick stat, you know.
Right.
Doubling guys on the baseline enough, or you know, causing throwaways or something. It's just what a weird stat.
But like it's funny because our defensive efficiency is great. It's just in this one metric. We defend well without forcing turnovers. It's funny. And we do force steals, just non-steal turnovers.
Yeah, I didn't think I would enjoy watching steals as much as – I don't know if we just didn't get that as much before, if it was just like we didn't take the risks that we are taking right now or what, but it is so satisfying to watch somebody's pocket get picked. Because it turns the points most times. And that's just an immediate momentum swing.
And when you got guys like Lamont Butler and Otega Owe guarding the perimeter, it makes sense that you would let those guys take those risks like that because
they have the defensive abilities to, even if they, if it doesn't pay off, they can get back in position pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the getting back in position is huge. Like last year, I thought Reed had pretty good hands, but he gambled a ton. And so his hands let him get some, and he'd steal and run it down for a dunk or something. But he'd also, if the gamble failed, he'd be out of position. There'd be nobody to switch over and take his man, and it was always two the other way. And I feel like this team is so much better about communicating and being aware of where they are, where the other team is on offense. And so we can take those gambles and the risk isn't quite as high. And we're so good in transition that the reward is even higher. So it really is fun to watch these guys steal the ball.
There was one defensive possession during the Duke game where Otega went to jump into a passing lane and he missed the ball and he was out of position and he gave up a just wide open three, which was one of the very few that Duke hit that game. And I noticed that we almost altogether just stopped doing that and just sort of just locked in and stopped trying to jump in passing lanes too much. So it seems like this is probably a directive coming down from the coaching staff of telling them whether to do it or not to do it.
And I like that. I think that's good because, like I said, often it leads to points. Even if it sometimes burns you, if it leads to points often enough, and results in a turnover often enough, do it. But if you're getting killed, stop. And it's nice that they're flexible enough to have some discretion as to how they handle that.
And I think you can take risks like that when you have the equalizer on the other end where you can hit so many threes that you can probably take more chances on your defense.
Right. Well, and it's worth more. If you're taking transition threes like we do, a steal is worth a lot more. I mean, mm-hmm, a third more than if you are just taking it in for a dunk.
It's also so fun to watch. It just makes it so fun to watch. Yeah, I haven't had this much fun watching basketball in a while because you get the college aspect of you don't have everybody traveling, but it not getting cold and whatever. But it's still like a highly productive offensive attack mode type of viewing experience, and it's just fun. So it still blows my mind that Mark Pope found these guys that fit the culture, and he found these guys that fit into particular portions of his system so well in like 2 weeks. Bonkers. And now we've talked 45 minutes about this Jackson State game that we won by 50 points.
45 minutes out of this.
Yeah.
That we sat here and said, this will probably last 15 minutes. I have almost nothing to talk about this game.
But yeah, it's like just a recommitment to all of the stuff that we've been excited about this whole season. We got some more. We got Western coming up, right?
Yes. Second best team in the state. So it'll be a big one.
It's another part of this. I am jealous of some of the teams that have real multi-team events this week. And I mean, the Baylor St. John's game last night. Awesome.
Yeah.
Poor Rick, man.
But like there's some really cool games going on, and we have this BBN Invitational where it isn't even all taking place at Rupp. I mean, I think Western is hosting Lipscomb in Bowling Green as part of, we're considering it the same event. I don't know. Kind of weird. I do think the HBCU thing is cool. This Unity game that they do. I appreciate that they do that, but man, I'm so hungry for that Duke game. Was so fun. Winning by almost 50 is great, but I would also like to see some real competition so that I can not just be excited, but like also feel like I'm learning something about the team.
Take me back to Maui, man. I miss it.
Yeah. I do Maui.
Atlantis. Yeah. Any of that stuff. Do they still do the Alaska one? The Great Alaska Shootout? Let's do that.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
probably called the Great Alaska Rivalry now.
Oh yeah. I don't know how many Red River get that one. Yeah, but that was
one. Cool. we got to go to Texas tomorrow.
I'm surprised at how many people have said they're traveling to that game. People on Discord have said they're going. Friends of mine are going, and it's like, I guess I think there's a phenomenon across the SEC where a lot of people are traveling to Norman and Austin this year because they've been to a lot of these other SEC towns and have just never been to either of those schools and want to see them. But I don't know, man. I am not going to Austin. It didn't even occur to me to do it.
Do when, like in 2012 or 2013, when we got Missouri and A&M, do you think people were like, you know what, I'd really like to go visit Columbia, Missouri? Do you think people did that, or is it just that Austin's just sweet?
Yeah, Austin's probably a better draw than College Station, too. Yeah. But I don't know. Norman, Oklahoma has never really stood out to me as, like, Funsville, USA. Maybe a cool college town. I know nothing about it.
I think that maybe just the experience of Oklahoma in general, Oklahoma football, is probably more so than, A&M or Missouri. I mean, you go to A&M, you got to listen to those dorks do their Yale stuff.
Have you seen where I think it's the male, I don't know if it's their Yale leaders or if it's just guys that are just in the stands at A&M, but when A&M's losing, they like squeeze their nuts. Have you seen this?
No.
It's actually, you can look it up, but it's actually a thing where they'll squeeze their nuts so they can feel the pain that the players are feeling for losing in that moment. And I'm not joking. It's really
wild, man. Man.
There's a video of it.
Yes, it's like 1890s stuff that just
there
stuck.
Was not one part of me that thought you were joking. I heard it. I'm like, yep, sounds about right.
No, I went through survival school with a couple of A&M like ROTC graduates. Special people.
Well, guys, is there anything else you wanted to cover on this fascinating game against Jackson State or thoughts for tomorrow's game? I think it's going to go not great, but we'll be here to cover it tomorrow. And hey, no matter what happens in the game, it's either the Mark Stoops' over party or the we just beat Texas party. And
yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah. And regardless, whatever happens, we're still going to beat Louisville.
So. Absolutely.
That's all right.
Real quick, somebody in the burner yesterday said, if we beat if we're bowl eligible, and then a second later they said, oh, shit, I thought we had another cupcake. Never mind. Just like, oh, yeah, no, not happening. Absolutely. Just out of the question.
So I'm assuming you both are calling for the L tomorrow. Caleb, while you were gone, we had a discussion of if Kentucky would cover a 20.5 point spread or 21.5. Basically, do you think we're gonna lose by 3 touchdowns or?
I probably yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just don't think that the defense is in it enough now to kind of force one of the dirty games, and that's what would have to happen for that spread not to hit. But maybe maybe Brock Vandergriff is like, this is my team, and takes over.
Well, yeah, he'll lose it to Cutter Bowley if not.
Yeah.
So at least that'd be fun. Change up the quarterback.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't complain.
For us, yeah. But I guess we'll see. So if that'll do it.
Let us know if you think we cover 21.5.
Yeah. Also, let us know what you think about our beautiful production value.
Comment anything and we'll reply. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, we don't care.
No slurs.
Slurs are bad, but key, stay subscribed. We won't ban you because we need our subscription numbers to go up, but we will delete your comments.
I do think we have a near 100% response rate on comments. I think that we are actively engaging with comments. So
we got the time. We got the time. So we'll talk about anything down there.
Yeah.
But yes, please like and subscribe. Leave a comment. This has been a lot of fun, and it seems to be going pretty well for us. So thank you. Did you guys have anything else to add before we head out of here? All right.
Good night.
Thank you for joining the Catican. Go Cats.
Okay.
Go Cats.